Similar to a well-tuned automobile, a guitar requires the same level of attention to perform at its very best. No matter how expensive your guitar may be, we will treat you and your instrument with the utmost respect. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson, we love guitars.
Welcome to another podcast. It's LiesOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Joining us now, someone we haven't spoken to for a while because he's been so busy traveling the country with Eric Trump and Kellyanne Conway. It's Congressman Mark Pocan. Tammy better write that concession speech because Conway and Trump have made their sweeps through Wisconsin for Leah Vukmir. So I wish Tammy the best, but boy, it's hard to combat Kellyanne Conway.
You know, they brought the heavies in, clearly. You know, the less bright Trump brother, the you know, it's like, it's, you know, I think it says a lot about Leah Vukmir and the campaign here. I mean, they realize, you know, Tammy did a really great job of for 6 years of getting around Wisconsin, doing the ground game so that regardless of who they put forward, although especially when you have someone like Leah Vukmir, you're able to really win strong, and that's what she's doing. And, you know, I think the surrogates just kind of reinforce that.
You served with Leah Vukmir. Has she always been so harsh?
She is a bit harsh. And, you know, I remember when I joined ALEC years ago to expose the stuff they were doing as a state legislator, she used to be the head of the health subcommittee. And I remember one time they had 50 members in a room, and I'm sitting watching them, and I remember she advised people not to take federal money because it just encourages them. So she's actually telling people in your states, don't take federal assistance money for your constituents because it's something about spending rather than about taking care of constituents. That's why she's about to lose the U.S. Senate race and no longer be in the Capitol. But, you know, it just shows the disconnect those kind of people have.
I have yet to see her defend all her votes on, for instance, not covering oral chemo. I mean, how would you even possibly defend that? Her response is, "Well, I'm a nurse." Well, okay, you're a nurse that doesn't bring people their oral chemo.
I read it on a billboard. I know she's a nurse. I got that part. It just shows. I mean, again, you can't just totally come out of nowhere and be a creation. I mean, Tammy Baldwin has done everything to show her very strong connection to Wisconsin. She focused on American jobs, stuff that I know you and I have talked about for many, many years. And I think she did it all in the right tone, in the right way. And that's good that, you know, she's going back. We're hoping we, you know, have a possibility of a seat or two in Congress. More importantly, in many ways, we have a governor's race that absolutely has to flip. And, you know, hopefully an attorney general's race and the Senate majority and a lot at stake coming up.
Let me ask you about some of the underlying things that the president is doing the days before the election, including sending troops down to the border. This is a Trump supporter, a woman in Florida, outside one of his rallies last night.
This thing with this invasion coming from the southern...
You're talking about the caravan.
I'm talking about the invasions, that's right. The caravan, it's just so wrong. I mean, what are they going to do when they come here? You know, and they got all the MS-13 tattoos and everything. That's not a good thing.
MS-13 tattoos are going to invade America.
There's a lot of Kool-Aid been drinking by that woman.
So, your reaction to that?
Well, you know, this is fine for Donald Trump and his people who attend his rallies because he still, I think, thinks he's a reality star and likes the rallies and loves the admiration from those folks. But, you know, he's not doing his party any good. I mean, even Paul Ryan, you know, for 24 hours found his spine. I mean, that's good when he said something about how you just can't, through executive order, change birthright citizenship, that it would take a constitutional change. And now Donald Trump's fighting with him. I think what Donald Trump's really doing is trying to set up the blame for why, when they lose the House of Representatives, it's not Donald Trump's fault, although clearly it's Donald Trump's fault. He's trying to blame Paul Ryan and Congress. But, you know, I would also blame Paul Ryan and Congress because until a few days out, they haven't stood up to this guy. And, you know, it's great fodder for a part of his base, a significant part of his base, to talk about the caravan. But I can tell you from traveling around the country in districts, the number one issue, without question, is health care. And you know, people who are worried about losing coverage because they have a pre-existing condition are less worried about some, you know, fake caravan problem that Donald Trump's trying to put out.
Well, clearly you didn't know. Scott Walker and Rebecca Clayfish have always been for... He's still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I'm not sure what happened there. They've always been for protecting pre-existing conditions. Didn't you know that?
Yeah, that's another classic one where, I mean, that it's so easy, Scott Walker. I mean, maybe when he bumped his head and got the bald spot, some other things happened because...
Isn't that how you got your bald spot? You bumped your head.
I must have bumped it a few times to get this bald. I don't know. I didn't really know that was the reason. But, if that's what happened to Scott Walker, I'll believe him, I guess. But, you know, on the healthcare thing, what's so amazing about his stance is that it's so easily provable as a lie, because if he really wanted to protect pre-existing conditions, he would immediately get out of the lawsuit that we're in that will risk them, that he and Brad Schimmel have done. So, you know, he's trying to have it all ways. The problem is, again, I always have faith that people are smarter than Republicans think they are, and people get that, no, you can't be, you know, fighting coverage for pre-existing conditions via lawsuits and yet claim you actually support them. And he's just not winning on that.
I'm a little confused at what's going on, and I know that you're helping with a number of congressional districts that are close. You know, you have a soft spot in your heart for blue-collar, hardworking union members that you know, in the past have voted Democratic but have gotten a little shaky in the 2016 election especially. What's going on with that group? I understand that the demographics of women versus men for a long time with the two parties, but... It appears as though the Democrats are going to win Northeast Illinois, the Dubuque area. That's certainly a blue-collar district. And yet it looks like the Democrats are going to lose up in the Iron Range in northern Minnesota. What is in obviously a very close race in southern Wisconsin with Randy Bryce and Brian Stile. What is going on with that group of voters?
So I actually had a meeting with a bunch of representatives from different unions just this morning, and, you know, we had this conversation, and they talked about how some of their members are still not quite, you know, on board. They're supporting maybe Scott Walker or something. But in general, you know, I think what we need to do is just the more we bring our message back to a core economic message, and I think healthcare really is part of a core economic message, because if you can't afford your mortgage or rent and you don't have health insurance for your family, you know, that's what people worry about, right? You know, can they maybe, you know, afford a family vacation? Can they get that one maybe extra luxury of a camper or a snowmobile or something? But that's what most real people think about. They don't think about politics. They don't think about policy. They think about getting by, and especially at a time when their wages aren't going up like the stock market and everything else. And I think, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to talk about a lot of other issues, identity issues and other issues that don't speak to those voters. And, you know, we have to talk about raising people's wages.
Well, it's why I do this. It's why I do this podcast. I mean, exactly. I try to keep things focused on that. And yet it's, you know, it's a little confusing out there right now. I suppose some of it has to do with the recruitment of candidates in any specific district.
Very much so. But also, I mean, let's put it, you know, they have put a lot of money into trying to confuse voters in a lot of different areas, right? And one of the areas is they try to, around issues of race and discrimination, they try to always make it sound like someone else is taking away your job or trying to do something, and they try to make it a fear factor. Because that's what keeps the economic elite, the members of Mar-a-Lago, all the donors to the Republicans continue to stay very rich. They get tax bills where 83% of the money goes to them. And yet, you know, this is something, Sly, I think that it has not gotten out there and needs to be understood. So I have, every time I go meet with a candidate, I ask them to put together something with all the unions so we can have a sit down. Because, again, you knew them, that's where my passion's at. And we did this in Des Moines and Rochester and Duluth and a bunch of places in the Midwest. And over and over it came, that tax bill, a lot of working people are going to have a big tax increase because of that bill. And specifically, where it came from, a guy from Rochester, Minnesota, actually ran it with his accountant. You can no longer, thanks to that tax bill, you won't be deducting your traveling expenses. So if you work in a different area, that used to be unreimbursed expenses. You can't deduct those anymore, or your tools, or your union membership, or some of your other expenses related to work. So this person, this electrician from Rochester, had his accountant run the new tax code under what he made last year, and he would have had a $3,000 tax increase. People won't know that until February when they pay their taxes, but that's the reality they got. So as much as, you know, they may every now and then think that, okay, if these people come into our country and they may take a job, a lot of maybe fear factor issues, the real issue is they are going to have to pay for that tax break so that the Koch brothers can have another vacation this year. And it's going to, in that case of that one electrician, that's a $3,000 increase.
Our mutual friend Laurie Wallach,
yes,
right, from Public Citizen, has told me that, in fact, in that tax bill, it actually makes it easier for companies to outsource jobs to other countries.
There's an incentive for companies still to do that. So Donald Trump is completely not telling the truth. I know it's a shock to you, Sly, but when it comes
something
to...
Something about him rubs me the wrong way.
But when he talks about that tax bill, he doesn't tell you all that. So, again, working people, especially people who work in the trades, are going to have these increases, and they're going to be negatively affected by components of that tax bill, all so that Republican donors and members of Mar-a-Lago are going to make even more money. And Donald Trump and his family will make more money, because that's what Donald Trump actually cares about.
So are the Wisconsin building trades going out and telling their members that?
Well, that's the conversation I had this morning. I said they need to find someone who has an accountant who's done what that person in Rochester had, a nice little program figured out with the new, and have them run it and put it out on video, and let's put it out on social media, because they need to hear from people who are going to be affected, because all you need to do, otherwise you're going to wait to get your W-2, you'll file your taxes in February, and you're going to find this out, and you're going to have this big tax liability that you weren't probably expecting. But if we can put it out now, I think it'd be really, really powerful, again, to show Donald Trump's not for you. He's for his people who belong to Mar-a-Lago and have the potential to belong to Mar-a-Lago.
He was saying that that Tony Evers is going to take Wisconsin backwards, and that Tony Evers has a terrible record of serving Wisconsin, and in fact, we're going to lose all the progress we've made over the last 8 years if we elect this man who's the school superintendent.
All the progress by having some of the worst roads in the country, all the progress of having to fight for money for education through local referendum and having it now be a local tax as opposed to state funding it, all the progress of having fewer people having access to health care because this governor wouldn't take federal money to expand Medicaid. Yeah, those are really awful things that Tony Evers might do by fixing our roads and bridges and investing in schools and making sure people have health care.
So he says the unemployment rate was 9% when he became governor, and now it's under 3%.
Yeah, and I think, we've had, 96 continuous months of recovery in the country, not because of Scott Walker, but because of a lot of things, quite honestly, that, happened after the 2008 recession because of people like Barack Obama and have continued. But again, Scott Walker, promised 250,000 jobs when he got elected in 4 years, didn't get there in 4 years, isn't there at year eight, desperately threw $4.5 billion in subsidies to Foxconn. And now I know you're going to be shocked. Foxconn is giving contracts to some of his contributors. It's just shocking that this is happening. So the bottom line is, this guy has not delivered on any of his promises. The only things he did were things to make him look good to run for president. And, I really think people are figuring this out. And, Tony Evers may not be the most electrifying person that's ever run for governor, but you know what? That's what I love about him. He's completely competent. He was a great, is a great superintendent of schools, and he's going to go there and be what you're supposed to be as a good governor.
Now, wait a minute. Someone... I saw him just like Beto the other day. He was skateboarding into one of his rallies.
Yeah, I love euchre, too. I can't wait to play euchre with the governor, But I'm not going to say electrifying.
By the way, you serve with Beto O'Rourke. Do you like serving with him?
Beto is one of the nicest people, bar none. And, if this gets picked up in in Texas, he'll get in trouble. But, his son, Ulysses, his oldest son, is a huge Packer fan.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
And he's taken his son to a Packer game, and they stayed at Reed Ribble's house, because Reed Ribble is, you know, one of my favorite Republicans in the state, a great guy.
Right, nice man.
And he had them stay at his house when he went to go see a Packer game. Now, Beto is one of the most genuine, best people that I've served with, and I really hope he gets elected. If not, I hope he finds another office, because he's the kind of people you want running for office, not, you know, maybe some people we know up in the Fox Valley.
Stand by. We'll talk more with Congressman Mark Pocan at SlysOffice.com.
Injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
John and I approach personal injury cases in the same way. We want to be certain that our clients are treated fairly, that our clients are comfortable, that our clients know they can trust us to get the best result for them.
It's our professional responsibility to make certain you are fairly and fully compensated. Most of our cases are settled without a trial.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
Second District Congressman Mark Pocan with us at SlysOffice.com, although my late mother would always call him Congressman Mark Pocan. So.
Yep.
But she always voted for you.
That's good. I appreciate that.
Let me ask you about earlier this year, you know, you talked about abolishing ICE. And I have to admit, I was kind of scratching my head at that one, saying, aren't you giving Republicans a talking point? We've obviously got to have criminals deported, people that are causing problems here. We've got to have some enforcement of our boundaries. We've got to have a coherent but also enforceable immigration policy. Do you wish you hadn't said that, or are you glad you said it?
No, I'm glad I said it, because for a number of reasons. You know, one, I think in any negotiation you have to have various entry points, and if we really want to seriously reform an agency that needs reform, and I'll talk about that in a second, you have to have those of us who are saying, look, this agency can no longer accomplish its functions, we have to abolish it, with the people who are saying it's working perfectly fine, to get to a point of reform. If we start in the middle, we won't get any reform out of it at all. But more importantly, as we have seen the agency misused most recently, right here in our own backyards, when they made arrests of 80-some people and didn't even notify law enforcement. In fact, they went out of their way to not notify local law enforcement. The week before the raids happened, they contacted the sheriff's office and asked who ran the 911 dispatch center. And as they asked a bunch of questions about it, the sheriff said, why, is something about to happen? And they said, oh, no, we're just updating our records. Instead of calling the line they're supposed to, a separate phone that the assistant chief of police in Madison carries with him 24/7, they called the dispatch. And now we can't even get information about how often they called, did they call us with each incident, because the whole idea is, a bunch of cars come up with guns and they're arresting someone, you don't know that. You just see cars and guns, they're going to, people call, neighbors call the police. You want to make sure you don't have an incident. So there's security reasons why they're supposed to contact law enforcement. They didn't do that. I had them meet with me in my office the Thursday after. They wouldn't even tell me if there was an office in Madison, and I'm a federal elected official. I had to do a FOIA request, my first in 6 years of being in Congress, to try to get information about what's happened, which I still haven't gotten. So, you know, this is an agency that, to their credit, said to me, this is the direction under this presidential administration. It's different than that of George Bush. It's different than that of Barack Obama. But it's been so misused by this president that if you really want to go after what they're supposed to, because this was created after 9/11 for mainly domestic terrorism, but also gangs and drugs and human trafficking, but the main focus was domestic terrorism. If you now go into a community with an ICE jacket, people run because they think you're going after their neighbor, their friend, their family member, and you can't accomplish that. So there are a lot of reasons why that agency needs serious reform. I just think, you know, sometimes, as you know, some Democrats prefer to spend their life in the fetal position in a corner of a room rocking. They don't want us to talk about things that are real. And, you know, I wasn't doing it as an electoral issue. I was doing it as, here's a reality issue. This is a serious problem. We're not keeping our eye on domestic terrorism, and we're using this agency as the president's police force so he can justify a wall.
I talked to the mayor and the police chief and the sheriff about this, and it's the mayor's belief that Madison is being targeted for political reasons.
I think they are just, there's a new person, I guess, in the Chicago regional office, and I think they're just trying to look good to this administration. So I think, you know, they're going out doing what they're doing. I don't know if it's a specific targeting of Madison, because it was around the state. I mean, Albany had it, other areas. So all I can tell you is that what at minimum they should do is follow the procedures. We can't even get information on that. Of the 83 people they arrested, they told us what 4 people did, but I would like to know what the other 79, because those 4, I want to deport. You know, let me sign the paperwork to deport them. They don't need to be in this country. But there are some people, and we don't know how many, that did absolutely nothing and somehow got on this list, and they won't share that with us. And they said that they have to fill out paperwork in order for us to even get their names, but they won't tell us if they actually give them the paperwork and if it's in English or Spanish. And, you know, it's kind of, remember when I had a fight over Supermax, for a couple years to get, some reform out there? I feel like I'm in the same fight right now with ICE.
All right, we know you get along with Congressman O'Rourke. Another one of your colleagues from a neighboring state, by the way, is, and I know that you're a big fan of his, Congressman Steve King.
Just, a bundle of joy and a pleasure to spend time with.
Okay. Have you spent time with him?
No, I haven't. Okay. Yeah.
You don't chat much?
No, no. I mean, even the Republicans are running from him right now. He is very proud to be a white nationalist. He's not like the president. He doesn't code just say nationalist. He's the whole enchilada.
The whole deal.
He's in a real tough race right now because of it, in a very Republican district. But, I mean, people in Iowa are more fair-minded than, again, Steve King certainly is. And this is kind of an election of that. I think people, as we've said, want you to focus on the real issues. And when you start focusing on, all this hate and divisiveness that we've seen have 3 major actions in the last week, that's not what we are as a people and where we are as a country.
Well, let me just play this montage. This is Brian Williams last night on his program on MSNBC.
And I think it's important that we put the marker down, put an end to automatic citizenship. If we had done our job, we wouldn't have an anchor baby industry here in the United States.
That was Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King way back in 2011. He's long been a champion for ending birthright citizenship, something President Trump is now embracing full on ahead of the midterms. King, who famously built a scale model of a border wall complete with an electrified fence on the floor of the House, has a long history of racially charged comments. Here is a little bit of what we're talking about.
They aren't all valedictorians. They weren't all brought in by their parents. For everyone who's a valedictorian, there's another 100 out there that they weigh 130 pounds and they've got calves the size of cantaloupes because they're hauling 75 pounds of marijuana across the desert.
When I go to Germany and they've outlawed the swastika, I look at them and I think, we have a First Amendment. That can't happen here in the United States.
You cannot rebuild your civilization with somebody else's babies. You've got to keep your birth rate up and that you need to teach your children your values.
So that's Steve King, and most recently he was condemned by the fundraising arm of his own party for telling the Associated Press if the Austrian Freedom Party, which was founded by former Nazis, quote, were in America pushing the platform that they push, they would be Republicans.
All right. The president is pushing birthright citizenship. The president also praised Congressman Steve King on stage. I think it was in Council Bluffs, Iowa, or Sioux City, Iowa. A couple weeks ago. What's the difference between Steve King and Donald Trump?
And you're right, Sly. This is where the Republicans, again, are willing to go after Steve King because, they need to go after someone at this time with all this going on, yet they've been, for the most part, completely silent to Donald Trump. Now, Paul Ryan did find his spine for 24 hours yesterday when he said, no, you have to change the Constitution. You can't just do an executive order to change birthright citizenship. And again, that wasn't a criticism. He was just stating a fact, and now the president's fighting with him because I think he's looking for who to blame when the elections go south. But you're right. I mean, Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell needed to stand up to the president a whole lot more in the last 2 years if they wanted to prove they're worthy of being in the majority.
Your outlook, you're involved in these races all over the country. You were lucky enough. I don't think you have an opponent this time, right?
No.
I didn't bother putting a yard sign out for you this time, so I kind of figured you were okay.
Yeah.
You have yard signs up.
But we still are, trying to make sure people know there's an election.
Right.
We're part of the team.
Your thoughts. How do you think Democrats are going to do on Tuesday?
Well, you know, I think nationally, I think we can flip the House of Representatives. Depending on what happens with a blue wave or not is where the Senate's at, although at this point I would have to argue we probably won't pick up the Senate because there are just different issues with the seats that are up versus the House. But if we have a big blue wave, that could happen. And in Wisconsin, I think, you know, one of the most important races to me is the governor's race. I think Tony is in a very good place, even though there was a 47-47 poll from Marquette as their final poll. I think, you know, the turnout is what matters, and everything that's done between now and November 6th is going to depend whether or not we continue with the governor we have, or we decide we want to start investing in roads and bridges and healthcare and schools again.
Well, if you're an incumbent, you've spent this much money and you've run 35 different TV ads and you're tied in the Marquette poll. There are other polls that show Evers ahead. I haven't seen any other polls that showed Scott Walker ahead. You're in big trouble.
Yeah, and then usually, as you know, people at the end, if they're still undecided, they're probably not going to break with an incumbent, because if they've been undecided, that's usually how they fall. So we hope that that's true, but again, you know, polls 2 years ago were a little surprising for us in the state in a very negative way. So we just got to make sure everyone gets out to vote, and that's the effort for the next few days.
Is the map of Wisconsin changing a little bit? You know, here's what I hear, is that, you know, Green Bay has become a very tough part of the state. That the president has a lot of supporters there, and I hear the same thing for Wausau. I hear western Wisconsin is coming back to the Democrats, but I also hear eastern Waukesha County, Brookfield, Menominee Falls, and some of the communities that hug the Milwaukee County line are starting to change in a different direction towards the Democrats.
Yeah, so there's a big phenomenon around that suburban voter, and we saw it in our special elections for the state Senate here in Wisconsin. So what we're finding is people who aren't Democrats or Republicans who live in those suburban areas, especially women, are tired of being forced into awkward conversations with their kids about porn stars and assholes and very fine Klansmen and Nazis. And, you know, this is not what they see of America. They may not be, you know, Democrats down the line. They may not be Republicans down the line. But this is uncomfortable. They know it's wrong, and they're going to vote that way. And I think that's a significant change we're seeing.
Well, it's going to be an exciting time, and I know that you put a lot of effort into the first congressional district. I know the Republicans are very nervous about that. Do you think Randy Brice has a shot of winning?
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's such a contrast. If people really get to know who Randy Brice is and who Brian Steil is, you know, Brian Steil...
He's a manufacturer, isn't he?
He's the corporate lawyer who's worked for two companies in his adult life, both of which he's helped them outsource jobs from America to Mexico and overseas. And that's versus an iron worker who has had some tough times in his life. I think we all know, based on the $5 million they've thrown at him, he's had a couple arrests. He's had a DUI, but so has our current Republican Attorney General and our last Democratic Attorney General. But, you know, Randy is the kind of guy who's going to represent the people who live in the district, and Brian Steil is the kind of guy who, you know, as a candidate in a box. He combs his hair right. He puts his hand just right on his arm, you know, on his hip when he's talking to a farmer, and he'll do exactly what the special interests want in D.C. So there's a great contrast. I just hope we get our base out to vote that way.
All right, Congressman, hang on the line. Thanks for coming to SliceOffice.com, and get out and vote.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters, because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, 5 more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.